The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. I mean, he can't for it to tear across the face.
It's really scary here. Everything about it is scary. The wood in the steel, our face is very short.
It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting. What you're talking about does not make it human tradition. It is from another time and place.
Demonology today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Kenneth Deal, Alan Glassell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursdays, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? KarmaCast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Across the floor and the strain finally breaks when the roads are evolved. X Radio and you.
This is Johnny. Johnny is going to use his computer to contact the spirit. His sister Jenny is very curious and watches. Johnny just typed in www.para-x.com and is now communicating with the dead. You go, Johnny. Jenny is excited because now she can listen to shows like Nightwatch with Todd Sheets, Caps Paranormal Radio with David and Tom, Paranormal Awareness with Bill Metz, Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Leinster Paranormal Radio Show with Danny and Cormac, and the Ghost Divas Live. One day, the world will be a better place when we can all be like Johnny and Jenny. And tune into Para X Radio at www.para-x.com. All paranormal, all the time.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Victoria Kelly is the author of the book Catch Falling Stars, The Little Star Collection, and the upcoming Children of Twilight series. These books explore the human condition from a spiritual side most of us have simply forgotten. They also teach us ancient values from a whole host of spiritual beings called the collective. Religion.
That's what we call our group, isn't it?
I'm a collective unto myself, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, religion and spirit. I'm not really. Religion and spirituality are two distinct things, and I totally agree with that. One may be spiritual, but not necessarily be involved in religion. The website is www.venusrising.com. That's Venus, R-I-Z-I-N-G,
yeah, with a Z.
.com. And Ghost of Talk would like to welcome Victoria Kelly. Welcome.
Thank you very much. What a wonderful biography you gave.
I think we don't we just copy
no,
that?
No. Actually, I actually wrote that one.
Oh, excellent.
What kind
Good
of?
Job.
We don't really well, you know, hey, there's always the press pack thing, right? But no,
oh,
yeah.
That's true.
It doesn't sound good. We just copy them and we just use them on our show for whatever the hell
we
want.
Sometimes we do. But this one's really
You're welcome, by the way.
And, you know, I totally agree, Victoria, about the religion and spirituality. But first of all, I want to know more about your books.
Absolutely. Well, the book Catch Falling Stars is a book that is written by myself, my husband Michael, and the collective. So it is an actual collective of writings and the styles. If you guys were able to have a look at the 25-page download, the PDF version,
yes, it is.
You can see that the writing styles are extremely different in the book. There's my style and then there's the collective style. So the messages in the book are to help humanity, and as we all have to agree at this point, we're in some serious crises, and these spiritual beings are speaking very loudly and clearly, and they're doing that through my husband at this time.
Oh, through your husband. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes, probably. Now, mechanically, I guess, I always like to get into the mechanics of this stuff. You mentioned did I just totally squash that? We were talking about her books.
Right, and then you just said, we're going to talk about the collective in a minute, and then you're talking about the collective.
No, yeah. I was going to talk about, oh my God.
Yes, you did.
No, I was we were going to talk about her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so you stand corrected then.
I do stand corrected. I'm
sorry. No, what I was going to say, concerning the collective, I guess we can just ask this right now. Mechanically speaking, I mean, I'm wondering, who is the collective? I guess it's just I said to come out and ask you that question. Who is the collective?
Absolutely. They're ancient spiritual beings. They've always been here. I've been given information on creation. So they have always been watching us. They're a combination of, if you will, spiritual guides, angelic creatures. They are here right now. They've actually massed together in order to send this message out to humanity, which, by the way, is nothing new because it's been taught for thousands of years and we just haven't been listening. So once again, they're trying to send this message of hope, love, strength, finding out who you are from inside, the wonderful person inside of you,
mm-hmm.
and bringing this all to the forefront in order to change our perspective on each other, our brothers and sisters in different countries, and to once and for all bring humanity together in love and, big word, peace.
Oh, that's a big word, too.
And that's going to be difficult in these times, as you know, Victoria, because...
Well, everybody's at each other's throats.
They're lobbing bombs at each other right now in the Middle East, and I just think that it's quite a challenge for them.
Absolutely it is. But you know what? Some of the greatest people that walk the face of the earth did it. I mean, I've always said Gandhi is one of my biggest heroes. And this little man changed the face of his nation, and he did it through nonviolence. He did it through love, and he did it through respect. So, you know, they have been teaching this message. We just now, and here's something very interesting, is the collective said back in August that of the new year, at some point, Israel and Iran will go to war. Now, we're seeing the beginnings of what's happening in the Gaza Strip.
Uh-huh.
We didn't even get into the new year because I believe this started like 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas.
It did.
So the collective were right on that. They also said by the end of the year we would have this huge economic crash around the world, which has already happened. So we're just kind of sitting back and watching all these pages unfold. And I don't believe that anything is impossible. I believe that it starts from within each and every one of us, and it is how we perceive our own identities, our spiritual being, our future. And, you know, when you read the book, it is just one of those books that you understand that they really are trying to reach out.
Well, Mike, I'm wondering how, when it comes to the collective, I mean, when you say they're reaching out, how are they reaching out? And this is just a question I want to ask. I mean, I'm not contesting. I'm just wondering, you know, what do they have methods? I mean, what are they trying to do to actually reach people and maybe, impress this idea upon them that, look, okay, the way we're doing it right now kind of sucks. We need to, like, change it up and try something new. I mean, do you know what their methods are? Did they tell you that?
Well, in the book, I'm going to read you a paragraph, and then
okay.
You tell me if you believe they're speaking to
okay,
us.
Okay, all right.
We gather in the darkness and we watch. We are surrounded by the sands of your world, projecting our thoughts to those who will now listen. For the message we bring is one of hope, love, trust, faith, and learning of the ancient ways. Do not fear us. Do not truly fear any being. Do not allow fear to destroy you. Fear is indeed the only true and last remaining enemy. For the few that discover this, there is great power in this thought. So I ask you, do you think that they're actually reaching out to try and get our attention?
Well, I tell you, the idea I get from that to start with is something that we've heard, you know, we've been hearing in all shapes and forms, that this idea of fear, and this is what I think has this whole world in a chokehold right now, as far as all the people on this planet, and it comes, obviously, and you know this, Victoria, in all shapes and forms when it comes to that, as far as fear is concerned. I know I have my fears. Doug, I'm sure you have your fears also, which is usually me.
Bonnie.
And Bonnie, yeah. But, I mean, this idea of fear, it can... When you have that disease, when you have that sickness in you that's called fear, you know, depending on who's controlling that fear, because there are people that control it, I believe, you can pretty much you're going to do whatever you have to do to keep that fear at bay.
Well, I think what's happened is not much has really changed since, I'm only going back, 50, 60 years when, who was it, FDR said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if much has changed. So whereas I believe in a lot of what we've already talked about. I really, really do. I believe that the path for human civilization and human individuals is to embrace each other. To you know, more, you have to love everybody and everything. You have to know that they're part of you and you are part of them. We're all made of the same atoms. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. my atom is just mine right now. It won't be forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, because this body will end up dying, and then, you know, it doesn't go away. It you know, decomposes, changes. Gets back into the system, and it'll be somebody else's atom eventually. So each of my little atoms are going to eventually be part of the Earth. And, you know, I mean, it's like a cycle.
Yeah.
And so we all really are of the same stuff. And,
yeah.
And I think that until we're having a hard time as a collection,
yeah.
As people realizing this kind of stuff. So the idea of, see, like I get the idea of the spirit guides and the angelic beings and stuff like that. I just don't know, Victoria, is there a ramp up phase? Is there a way to get the world leaders to listen to this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think that's the problem, because people, let's be frank, most people, they're followers. They're not leaders.
Right.
They are perfectly content being told what to do off the TV set or whatever it may be. It's harsh, I know, but it's the facts. Just look around you. So, you know, I think the solution to this, to get people to think this way, will be to get people that have influence, unfortunately, I think, too. But it's a fact. You have to get people in power that have influence to go, look, here's what we got to do, guys. This is what we need to do. We need to change the way.
Because I'd like to take a copy of your book, Victoria, if I could, and put it in every embassy in the world.
Absolutely. You know something? You guys are making some wonderful points. And one of the things that the collective have said is that this year is the power of two. What that means is that if I have learned some dramatically beautiful, wonderful things to reach the children of the future, because in the beginning of the book, I dedicate it to our children because they are our future. When we are gone and we've passed from this life, what legacies are we going to leave them? So here's the thing. The power of two is that I teach somebody. Then they teach another person. And what's going to happen, and I truly believe this, at some point we are going to turn around, because we know that right now the United Nations is not doing some of the jobs that we ask them to do, you know, to keep peace around the world.
Mm.
And they're kind of turning a blind eye to some of the things that are going on. As people, we are eventually going to get to a point and say, we have had enough. You're not doing the job that we employed you to do. We want something different. We want something for our future. We want it for our children. And we have to fight for it, each and every one of us. And I don't mean literally get out there and fight. I mean fight mm-hmm. the good fight from within.
No. Yeah, I mean, how many years have we been saying that here, Doug? Really, we have.
Right.
That I think one of the biggest problems we as a race of people have is that we are so short-sighted. We seem to be so short-sighted.
Oh, everything's fast.
Sense pleasure. Yeah, sense pleasure.
Yeah.
Get it done now. Instant everything. What's going to make me the most money in the least amount of time so I can go retire into the Bahamas or wherever it may be? I mean, I don't care what happens 20 years down the road. I just want to make my money now and get out of town.
I want it all.
I
want it now.
Exactly.
And that's the problem.
And that's destructive. It's destructive. We all know it.
And that's the problem, because we're going to have all the trees torn down.
Well, yeah, that's just one example.
And made into whatever you make trees.
I've seen that happen personally with this radio show. If decisions we've made in the past, they were short-sighted sometimes, and we're like, well, I know we've looked back and said, oh, we could have done that differently. You know?
Yeah.
And now, we're not changing the world, okay?
No.
But it puts it into perspective, though, to go, okay, now let's take this idea, our little radio show, and then put this on a global scale, right?
I know. Victoria, does the collective influence, can they influence everybody in their own little way? Or, like, do they hear the whispers in their dreams and do they then make a conscious decision to go against it? Or how does it teach people?
Okay, you asked me a very, very important question here, because there are two words that the collective use all the time, free will.
Mm-hmm.
Have the will inside of you, in each and every one of us. We have, over the thousands of years, been told, and here's one of the things that the collective are really, really big on. A lot of people may or may not agree with me on this whole thing. I have nothing against people's religion, but religion is a doctrine, and it has been split apart so many times. What has been mankind's greatest downfall? Through wars, through disruption, through anger and violence. It has always come back to religion.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
The collective have said that because we believe that, you know, we're so afraid of death and that we are so short-sighted on these things, that we are the biggest fearmongers. We walk around and we stand there on our podiums and we teach the fire and hell brimstone thing, when in actual fact the word hell doesn't even exist in the Bible. So let's talk about being honest instead of, you know, dragging people into this doctrine that was used to hold us in fear. You can be extremely spiritual, but to believe every single thing without venturing out, finding out the truth for yourself, is what holds mankind in fear. So as long as we have that, then we will never rise above something greater. And the collective want to teach the winds of change for our children, because our children get it. You know, the children that are coming in the next generation are extremely bright. They get it. Some of us adults are still having a hard time with it, but our kids get it. And the collective speak about religion in the book. Oh, boy, do they speak about it. And they say some very home truths that may upset a few people. But, you know, sometimes truth is brutal, and sometimes you need the truth to maybe adjust your thoughts.
Well, I think especially with the generation, my generation growing up now, I guess all, you know, all three of our generations, all of us within this age bracket, whatever it may be, within 10
I'm
years.
I'm ancient.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, you're the exception, Doug. You're way older than me.
There's less than 10 years between the three of us.
Well, but I think people within that kind of that area who are raising kids now and things like that, I mean, I just think that this generation, from what I've seen, and all I gotta do is just go out and drive for a little while. and I can just give you, that's an observation right there. We're all the kings of our own little universes. We're kings. And again, that ties right back with short-sightedness. I can only see as far as the windows of, well, I'm sorry, the walls of my house, more or less. That's all I see, because this is my kingdom. I am God here. And, you know, I think the children coming up, like you're talking about, Victoria, they have a different viewpoint. You know, they don't understand. I don't think they really understand this whole, you know, the whole materialism thing. You know, about, you know, well, you, here's the life. You know, 20 you go to college, 25 you graduate college, 30 you get married, 35 you have, you know, and they. I think I'm seeing a lot of kids that I've noticed that, you know, that I've talked to personally, and they're much more, it seems like, well, the majority of them, at least, they seem to be much more free spirit. They don't think up in terms of a timeline, a rigid, gridded timeline, right? Well, I got to be here, right? I got to be there at this point. I got to be doing this thing. They're much more open-minded about things. So I do see what you're saying about, you know, these children being much more bright, because I consider that being much more bright. That's my opinion. I think you're much more bright when you think in a more softer way than hard, rigid things of 25, be married. You know what I mean? It's like,
absolutely.
Crap, you know?
Sorry, I have a 9-year-old who is seeing and saying and doing amazing things that would take most adults a lifetime to figure out. And I seriously, you know, my children are my future, and so I'm fighting this for my children. I want to read you one paragraph in what the collective say about what we have done to each other.
Sure.
Long have we seen the horror inflicted by man on his fellow. Few can question your talents for death and destruction. War is your greatest achievement. What many call religion is nothing more than a proving ground for predators, thieves, animals, and those bent on doing great harm. These beings rise in darkness or with the help of clergy, and know that to control people, they must first enslave them in thought. Down through time, this enslavement has always been through religion. And for the few that truly profess to do no harm, from most religions, believe can or will hold to this for very long. The very nature of most religions is to conquer and to divide, to powerfully hate, even if this hate is shrouded in religious fervor. So that is what the collective begin to talk about with religion. And you got to agree with me on this one. They They're not pulling any punches here. They're saying it how it is. And we know. We see it on the news. We see it on the TV. We know.
Well
I've seen it. I have seen that in the past, right? I mean, if you look at the history of the Catholic Church and what's going on right now in the Muslim versus Jewish world, is that what's going on? You see the
it's
wars,
ugly,
you see the power, you see the control, right? Mm-hmm. But I just don't, Victoria, when I go to church, and I don't go to church very often, but when I do go to church,
okay.
There's a man up at the front of the congregation, right? And he's, you know, teaching us things, or he's interpreting something and telling us stories, and on the whole, he is trying to uplift your spirit. He seems to really be trying to do that through what he sees as the word of God, right? Mm. And mm-hmm. I don't think that the work that he's doing is to enslave you and brainwash you and stuff like that. He's got, in my opinion, a very narrow-minded, you know, set of rules that he can teach out of, and that's the Bible. And because here in Michigan, I don't have all that many choices, right? I can go to this or that kind of Christian place, right? That's about it. And so it's all the Bible based. And so we've got this Bible, and he's trying to uplift us and trying to teach us a few morals and a few, you know, be good to your neighbor, you know, don't covet your neighbor's wife, whatever, all that kind of stuff. He's doing that kind of thing, and I don't think he in himself is trying to brainwash you.
Is either. I don't. But whose Bible? And how many changes have been made to the original scriptures? I mean,
and that is ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when Jesus came to earth, let's talk about religion.
Okay.
When Jesus came to earth, he never said, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm this, I'm that. He said he came to do the work of his Father. Mm-hmm. And he came to do the work in love. And he came to bring a message to humanity. That's what he said.
Right.
So who changed it that, you know, you have to listen to my version because I'm Catholic, and or you got to listen to my version because I'm Baptist? That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, love your brother as you love yourself. He didn't say, because you're Catholic or Baptist. He quoted genuine scripture. So it's been contorted. It's been twisted. And so whose version is he teaching? Because people want truth. People resonate with truth. And that's what the collective are trying to say here. The truth. Let's talk about the truth for once.
Well, I think one of the main points that you made, the last reading you gave us too, is just simply enslave the mind. That line came.
Well, that
out
happens.
Like, wow,
that happens in more than just religion, though.
Yeah.
And
oh, well, yeah, having all different sorts.
Victoria, the news outlets. I mean, you just watch the news, and it's all biased.
It's
they
all
say,
good,
"Oh, we're
good,
unbiased." Yeah, but it's all biased. It's all trying to get you to think one way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you read this newspaper, and then if you read a different newspaper the next day, a completely different message.
By no means
out of the same news.
Really quick, because we got to go to break. But one thing, this is a good example. This, Doug, is with the gas prices in this country right now. What a lot of people say that half the problem is the news itself, because they come on and go, "Oh my God, gas prices are going to go up!" So everybody freaks out. And then they have no choice but to raise the gas. They're like, you know, if you guys would just shut up for a little while and let things cool off a little bit, because it's obviously a trickle-down effect. This isn't one person. It's a trickle-down through all different types of organizations and places. And, if you know, the oil makers are like, look, if you just calm down a little bit, again, that's enslaving in its own right. I mean, it does come in all shapes and sizes.
Oh, the oil makers are posting record profits.
I'm not defending them. I'm just saying.
I don't know. We're not gonna get this in a half hour. So we're gonna have another half hour after this break, and we're gonna try and figure this out. But I don't know if we can
feel the heat going up in here right now between all of us. I think
because I don't want to feel like I am. I still want to feel like I'm open minded about things.
Oh yeah.
Let's find out. Let's find out if that's possible after this break.
Ghostly Talk! Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. San Diego Paranormal is an affiliate for Sideshow Collectibles and Collectibles Today. From the Munsters to Scary Movie and even Pirates of the Caribbean, we've got you covered. How about a statue of Elvira for your desk? Please go to www.sdparanormal.com and look for Sideshow Collectibles and Haunted Collectibles on the left-hand navigation bar. A&E sets out on Ghost Patrol with a green light for a new original life series, Paranormal Cops, following a team of Chicago area police officers who also work as paranormal investigators. The network also announced a third season of hit original real life series, Paranormal State. Paranormal Cops is currently and tentatively slated to premiere later in 2009. Paranormal Cops follows a group of larger-than-life cops who walk one beat during the day as real-life Chicago-area police officers and another at night when they apply their forensic and investigative expertise to paranormal casework. Responding to the pleas of ordinary people who are victimized by distressing and inexplicable activities in their homes and workplaces, as well as taking cases from their day jobs when called upon, these cops bring their no-nonsense approach to hunting ghosts and real-life police skills to separate the fact from fiction and often happen upon results much scarier than the paranormal. If this concept sounds familiar, it is. I worked with a group of Houston police officers that ventured over to the paranormal side with a short-lived television show on Court TV called Phenomena Police. The Freeborn County Courthouse will soon be featured in a television show about paranormal activity. The historic courthouse in Albert Lea is said to be haunted. Some say the suspicious activity is linked to a suicide that happened in the 1930s, when a television show called Dead Reckoning contacted Freeborn County officials asking if they could come and investigate. The county commissioners agreed. The commissioners recommended to producers that the building's maintenance manager, Randy Jensen, be involved in the taping because he knows firsthand that the courthouse has spirits lurking around. Randy Jensen says he's heard things. When he worked nights, he would hear doors slam, but there was no one else in the building. He has also had other staff members report hearing things and seeing things. Jensen says the unexplainable activity doesn't bother him, but he says some people do get uncomfortable at night because the building is old and creaky. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when four guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, television is reality, and reality is less than television.
Trying to wrap our minds around a difficult subject, but one that I think is extremely, extremely important.
Yeah,
we're talking about, well, we're talking to Victoria Kelly of www.venusrising.com. That's Venus, R-I-Z-I-N-G.com. The book is Catch Falling Stars. And there's others, the Little Star Collection and the upcoming Children of Twilight series. It's really interesting because we've got the collective. Right? The collective co-wrote the book. And
telling us a lot of things I think we should already know as people.
We
should be ashamed
about
not
some
even,
of it.
Yeah, I mean, that I'm not perfect by all means, so I'm not going to stand on any soapboxes here. But I think one of the things that Victoria said in the last half hour, and it's something that I feel it in my gut, that people are finally going to go, look, enough is enough. Something's got to give. All right? There's a threshold we're going to cross over when we're watching, if you just watch things that go down every day, and this is like real life. I mean, I don't know how much is fabricated because I believe about 5% of what's on, the corporate news out there. But when you're seeing people that are just taking millions and millions of dollars, for example, and just walking away from some company that just failed, right, where thousands of people have lost their jobs. And they leave, and they go build a new house somewhere, nothing happened.
And they live happily ever.
They live happily ever. You don't tell me that people aren't just going to – don't tell me I'm the only person in my car bending the steering wheel over and making it into a half moon, okay, because I'm not the only one.
There are already some people who aren't taking it. There was the workers in the factory just outside of Chicago. They're like, we're not taking that. The Archway people, the Archway cookie people. We were talking about Archway cookies because they make
the wedding cake.
The wedding cake cookies.
Oh my god! Yeah.
And their plant, actually ended up getting sold, thank heavens, and the new owner. So they're not going to stop making cookies.
Thank God.
Still have jobs.
Thank God.
Baking, and we don't have to worry about the wedding cake cookies anymore.
Screw the car companies, Archway.
Cookie companies are
Let's
where we
not
need to
say screw the car companies. Okay,
it's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, we want the car companies to stay.
Wow.
Business.
Take it easy.
Put food on our
Listen,
table too.
My whole family survived.
I know, and I'm not. I understand that, and I was a joke, Bonnie. I didn't.
Don't say it again.
Just don't do it again.
I love
but,
you.
God. But
the mic is out. I'm done tonight. I'm finished with her.
The whole point is that that there are people who are standing up.
Yeah, there are.
There are people who are listening and fighting for themselves.
Yeah.
Is that going to be part of the message? We're going to have to find out. Victoria.
I hope she's still here.
If you haven't hung up on us already. What
you
is...
the record I go in here.
Oh, the fighting you mean? Okay, yeah.
It goes on everywhere.
No, we just cited a couple of examples right there of people just going, look, I'm sick to death of this. We need to change.
It's kind of frustrating, you see.
It is. I never tell anyone this is easy. Skip the movie The Secret, okay? It was all this, all you have to do is think happy thoughts and it comes to you. Well, the fact of the matter is only 3% of people who watch that movie are actually having success from it.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to the other 97%?
Uh-huh. Right.
The fact of the matter is it is hard work. And you've got to do the work on yourself. Because if you don't even understand what makes you tick, what makes you happy, what brings out the anger in you, then how can you go off and teach that to someone else?
I
so
agree.
You have to look from within. because you are the greatest source, the greatest power. Look from within. Then when you know and you have worked out all the little bumps, and I got to tell you, you got to work through some stuff, because we've all got those skellies hanging in the closet and we don't want to rattle them, but sometimes you got to get down and dirty and do it. So once you've figured that out, then you can go and teach somebody else, and then people see the changes in you. And believe me, this is a lifetime commitment. And people have seen changes in me, and they've been like, I don't know you. And no, you don't know me anymore, because I'm not the same person I was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is how the changes come. We do it from ourselves, then we teach somebody else, then we teach someone else, and it's like a virus. You know, when somebody gets the flu, everybody gets it.
Yeah.
So that's the message that we're sending out. And the collective, you know, my teacher, and he says I don't have to mention his name, but it makes him smile when I do. His name is Dion. And when Dion comes, he is eventually going to speak to the world through my husband.
What was it? I'm sorry, Victoria, what was the name again?
Gathion?
Yes, and you won't remember it unless you write it down.
I type it out.
Okay.
So, no, but that's his name, though, right?
Yes, that's his name.
And you were, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
And when he comes, he's going to come through Mike?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He will eventually speak to the world, he said. And he will, once and for all, put to rest any uncertainty. But at this time, the message needs to go out. And when the time is right, he will come forth and speak from my husband.
Well, you mentioned this. This is something I wanted to talk about, too, is that your husband, obviously, he's the one that does channel the collective. Now we've had a few people on the show over the years here who, you know, who channeled creature, or gosh, I shouldn't say creatures.
Creature.
I'm channeling a lizard. No, but who have channeled, you know, beings, entities of sorts. And you know, I always like to ask people, again, I'm the mechanical person. I like the mechanics of these things. You know, what is this process? How does he go into to tune in with these people, with the collective?
Well, actually, what happens with my husband is one of the rare phenomenons of the real, true channeling, if you will.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen Jay-Z Night with Rampha, the way that she channels. It's similar. What happens is when it first started happening, my husband was feeling rather sick. He wasn't feeling himself, and he said, I don't know what's going on with me. He was having, like, pains, and he felt really woozy. What was happening was the collective were very gradually connecting their energy with his body, and they, you know, because they're such powerful beings, they do not want to harm him in any way, so they were testing the waters. And then about 2 weeks later, we were sitting on the sofa in the living room, and he said, I gotta go to sleep. I just feel really tired. And he went to sleep, and out of his mouth came this accent, this beautiful ancient accent, which is a combination of Aramaic, ancient Egyptian, Babylonian, Sumerian, the ancient languages were coming through. And at first, I didn't understand what was happening. I didn't even know what they were saying. But then within about 20 minutes, they started speaking English. And I started receiving these messages. And sometimes they allow Michael to hear what they're saying. And other times I have to tell him what they've said. It just depends on what they want to speak about. But they have decided that I will be their spokesperson, and Michael is what they refer to as the vessel. And they speak through him freely now, and it's just the most amazing thing that could happen, because his whole persona changes. Like when Gethion comes, my husband walks with a staff, and he's an old man, and so he'll be walking around the house like, you know, an older man, and he'll be talking to me, and the motions in his hands are different. His speech is different. My husband has an accent, which he normally doesn't have. It's just completely different. It's not the same person.
Why do you think that Michael was chosen as far as a vessel, like you said?
Both of us were chosen, and this was a process with them. It's kind of like when Congress goes and, you know, does their stuff in the government. They all sat around, because there are so many of them, even though they're speaking with one voice at this time, they are all separate and they all have different personalities. There were other beings that they were looking at, and they have used other beings over the centuries of time. But at this time, I think because maybe some of our backgrounds, our upbringings, the two of us together had a lot of knowledge in the in spiritual things,
yeah.
And so they chose the two of us as a pair because they wanted to incorporate both male and female energy for a modern time, so that people were not thinking, oh, it's another guy doing it or it's another female. They wanted to bring the two of us together. And it just works as a combination. It took them a long time to make this decision. It wasn't something they just snapped their fingers and said, that's them. It was a process of elimination. And so we were chosen.
So, they more or less, I'm sure they go through several different, maybe people themselves, people, couples, yeah, you said it's a process of elimination. They go, oh, no, that ain't going to work this time. Oh, ooh, these two, ooh, yeah, this is good.
Yes.
And that's the kind of, that's how you get stuff done, I guess. You sit down, you hash it out. I don't see any other way to do it, so it makes perfect sense to me whether you're, whether you're a different being or a being here.
And then they had interesting challenge of getting you guys to listen, I imagine. at first you were probably like, wait a minute, love most of this, like we are, I love most of this message, but I'm a little bit unsure about, this and that, because they're telling us that, things that we've grown up with and things we see every day,
yep,
and stuff are bad for us, and I don't know if I like to hear that. So you,
yeah,
you know,
there were some home truths. Let me tell you, Gethion wrapped me over the knuckles a few times, and he's a spiritual being. He's not going to pull any punches. If he says something about you, and you're all, sometimes I'd be like shocked, or even sometimes the odd tear would come out of my eyes. But you know what he was telling me? He was talking to me about myself, and he was telling me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes truth hurts, but he says truth is always best, Victoria. So he would talk to me this way, and sometimes we've been like naughty children that won't take out the garbage, and we want to be defiant and say, no, I don't want to do it like that. And they're like, okay, we just will grow silent for a while. And we miss them, because they're so much a part of our lives now, that when they don't speak for a while, we're like, we miss you. Come back and we'll talk and behave.
I don't think true growth ever comes or is ever successful without some kind of pushback, though, too. There's always going to be some resistance that, the subject's going to have. For a person to grow, they're doing things, they're learning things, they're experiencing things that are foreign to them in a lot of ways. And this can go for anything, right? And when you're growing it, spiritually, especially, or mentally, what we all have to do, and take it from me, I'm one of these people that know this firsthand over the last couple of years. There was always a lot of just, oh, my God, no, I don't want to do this. This is ridiculous. I can't do this. Well, you know what? It just... Once you get over that hump in those things and the pushback and all that, what I was talking about before,
then you realize,
yeah,
okay, it was worth it.
It was worth it. So it just ties right into with what you were talking about, though, Victoria. That think happy thoughts and happy things will happen to you. It don't work that way.
Sometimes
there's a lot more work involved.
Work, yeah.
It isn't just thinking happy thoughts. You want to have a healthy frame of mind. That's a given. You want to be strong in your mind and happy and healthy in your mind, but it isn't that simple. I think that you have to sweat, like you said, you have to get dirty. I know this more than anybody does right now, I think, and that's really what it comes down to, I think, is this growing thing. This ties in with what you were saying, though, about just being confronted, Victoria, yourself, with things that you may have not agreed to at the time, but once you're confronted with that and say, this is the truth, you got to deal with it or else.
and that's a challenge had to overcome, and Victoria had to overcome. But
yeah.
There's one other thing about the clock.
Yes.
They're around. How much time do we have?
We got a few minutes here. We got
good, good. I can get one more. At least one more.
We can grill Victoria some more. Yeah.
They're in. Well, this is really fascinating.
This is.
Stuff. They're in everybody's lives. They've been here since ancient times, and hopefully they'll see us through our difficulties now, and hopefully on into the enlightened times. But if they're here, they've always been here, they're going to be here, how do they make themselves known to everybody? Like, not, I don't mean make yourself known, but I mean...
I'm like talking to you. Here's your opportunity, bro.
Right.
Actually, they talk about it in the book, that they said not everyone will know them on a spiritual level.
Right.
But there will be some that will become teachers to help humanity evolve, that will have their messages. I'm as far as the collective are concerned, Michael and I are the only people that they speak directly to. They put messages and they speak in people, you know, not verbally, but they will transplant their messages into people's minds, and people have these same thoughts, because I've met a couple of people who have said to me, I know that somehow I'm being taught by the collective, because the things that they're being taught are almost identical. So they will carry out their messages through meditation that people do, but as far as verbally speaking, Michael and I are pretty much it. And they have chosen it this way because it stops confusion.
Well, yeah.
And the message that we speak is of exactly the truth of how they want it spoken. And another thing is that they have been speaking these messages, and they have said in the book that they spoke them to the greatest minds that ever walked the face of this earth. So some of the history books that we can go through, we're getting messages. Look at Einstein. I mean, this man did amazing things with his mind. Mm-hmm. Where do you think he got some of these thoughts? So the collective consciousness has been out there for thousands of years. We're just now finding out that these beings are being brought forth to actually speak in our time.
Yeah.
Whereas before, they were just putting messages into people's minds. So.
Well, that's the thing. I think what you were asking too, Doug, is just, you know, does everybody get touched by these people? I mean, you know, obviously you guys have, and I think it makes sense to keep the data pool small, right? Because I think half of our problem also on this planet is we got way too many cooks in the pot in all of our projects that we do here.
Oh, so maybe we're interpreting too few things.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just and when you get... You know, I know this firsthand. When there's just so many people involved with something, it's total chaos. It's total confusion. Nobody knows what's going on.
The giraffe.
Yeah, there you go.
The giraffe was designed by committee.
Yeah.
It's backwards. And, yeah. You know, long neck.
Then you find that if it becomes like a religion, how it gets twisted and contorted, and that's not what they want. So we have to keep it, you know, within a few people that truly understand this, and then they become teachers. And then those teachers go out and teach others, and then those, you know, that's how it starts. And it makes sense to me, and, you know, people say, well, how come you and not me? You have to ask the collective that. You know, there was, like I said, there were criteria that we met, and, you know, I don't profess that I'm any great Allah or anything like that, but... Yeah. I speak on their behalf, and I speak their truth, and whatever they're teaching mankind, to me, makes total sense, being raised in a very strict Christian family. And now I have this other mindset where all those other questions I had from learning through the Bible have now been answered. Like, for instance, just quickly, in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image. Now, who was he talking to? He was talking to six other beings that helped him with creation, and that's why we have 7 days of the week, because each one of them played a part in it. And I read the book, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the other day, and do you realize that it's mentioned in there about seven beings?
No, I didn't notice that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just kind of drives that home point, that point home again, that, you know, there are all these different, you know, religions, all these different ideas, and I'm standing by that still to this day, that, you know, it really is about understanding what it's all about, and that, you know, like we were saying way early in this discussion, how really we are pretty much all the same, but there are all these different religions that separate us, different ideologies, different fears that separate us.
Well, I can't believe how much they separate us, too, because I get the feeling, the gut instinct, you might say, that...
Somebody will kill you over it. That's a pretty big... That's a pretty big difference.
But
it will kill you if you don't believe what they
but
believe.
But I have the gut instinct that it all goes back to the same kernel, the same core, the same event. Yeah.
Yes, and the Bible was originally brought forth for mankind to use as a way to live. You know, it was a way of life. And the biggest universal law that people seem to just pass off as, you know, a four-letter word, love. But I love that lipstick. I love that car. It doesn't have any meaning unless it truly comes from your heart. Yeah. And so we have forgotten the ancient messages. We've forgotten community. We've forgotten our families. And our children are being raised by TVs. So, you know, they're trying to prod us, and we're all going to get a very big hot poker in the backside if we don't wake up soon. That, you know, our kids are being mind-controlled, and that's one of the reasons I'm writing the Twilight Children series. It's about this very thing. And the Little Star Collection are seven stories that the collective have told me of their own lives when they lived at one time on the Earth. They're amazing stories. So I'm just getting so much information from these beings. I can't be making half of this.
Well, I think it's obviously a good message. People need to take these things into account, and I think we're very close to that point as a civilization, as a race of people, where collectively we're going to go, okay, enough's enough. Something has to change. You know, it could be 2012. Who knows? That's a whole different discussion. But I, you know, we could be on this precipice. Who knows? Where we are going to have a change in our thinking. And go, no, we don't need all this stuff to drive us and make us feel like we're human if we have this stuff, right? So I think it's going to, hopefully it does move us to a more spiritual and intellectual way of living.
And in order to prepare for that, we've got, of course, Catch Falling Stars.
Yeah.
The book by Victoria, our guest.
Yeah, so unfortunately we have to go to break here or we're going to get... Well, no, we're not.
Well, we don't get in trouble no matter what we do. But
no, Victoria, thank you. Seriously,
you've got a lot of work to do, you know.
We all do. It isn't just her. Yeah, it's all of us.
She's over there challenged every day.
It comes from within. I mean, if you're going to take something away, people out there, if you're going to take something away, this change comes from within. I know the greatest changes I've had in my life have been as a result of me looking at myself going, you really need to straighten that out quick or you're going to be in big trouble. You know, and that's what it comes from, I think. I think that's the number one thing you should take away from this discussion.
That you are all powerful beings. You just have to know your own power.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said that better myself.
I'd like to know your power for taking us into break. Victoria, thank you, but we do have to go to break. Can you hang on?
Yeah, hang on the line.
Hang
Don't
on
leave
the
us
line
just yet.
For just a moment. I want to say thank you to Victoria Kelly.
Yeah,
the book is Catch Falling Stars. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's also the Little Star Collection, and there's Children of Twilight series coming up.
Mm-hmm.
The website is www.venusrising.com. That's
R-I-Z-I-N-G.
That'll be linked up at ghostlytalk.com. Mm-hmm. And so definitely check those out because it's important stuff for now and for the future.
Coming up, speaking of more truth, Truth in Paranormal Science.
Interesting.
Kevin Knight and Paul Sherman are nice enough. They're going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about some pretty heady subjects coming right up.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.